Coming up on podcast 1347, the Winnebago ERV, the electric camper with 125 miles of range. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, why investing in EVs has worked out well for Ford. Porsche Taycan will be on safety car duties with a racing series. And what China is saying about Tesla's autopilot system. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 19th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and it's my job to go through every EV story and give you the highlights, like a TLDR, if you like, of the EV world, because I know that you are busy. Welcome to a new Patreon producer. That'll be you, John Dyson. Hello, John. Thank you so much for signing up and getting the ad-free feed of this podcast and, of course, importantly, supporting it and getting it on the air. I really appreciate it. John Dyson, a new producer of the podcast. And if you're looking for other podcasts to listen to, I recommend The Verge's podcast, titled How Volkswagen Can Reinvent Itself as an EV Company. It's over an hour long, and it's a sit-down chat with CEO Herbert Diess. My goodness me. I mean, The Verge is a massive publication, but what I would give for 5 minutes with Herbert Diess to ask him a few things about electric vehicles. Volkswagen, one of the two big car makers in the world, depending on the numbers that you like to tot up. It's either VW or Toyota, the world's biggest car maker, both selling around 10 million units a year. Herbert Diess oversees a huge range at VW, of course, the VW badge, but Audi, Lamborghini, Porsche, Bentley, Skoda, Seat, and a recent management shuffle also put him directly in charge of their software business called CARIAD, and that is going to be where EVs are heading. So good to have him in charge of that bit of the business, because EVs are batteries and software. And Herbert Diess talked about most of those things I just mentioned, actually. The overall transition to EVs, the new EV microbus, the buzz, and how a company like VW can move as quickly as smaller companies like Tesla. Now, like I say, I've not listened to the whole thing. It's over an hour, but I've listened to segments and chunks. It sounds good to me. So I'll be listening to that a little bit later on in my headphones, my podcast recommendation. Now into the news, and Ford, their shares were active early trading today, as I'm recording this on Wednesday, after they said late last night on Tuesday that their investment in Rivian would add $8.2 billion to their fourth quarter bottom line. Ford and Amazon, big investors, and more as well, into Rivian, who recently went public. TheStreet.com says, in an investor update ahead of its formal earnings release on February the 3rd, Ford said gains from Rivian's November IPO would be booked as a special item to cover the 3 months ending in December, Ford investing $500 million in Rivian back in 2019, building that to $1.2 billion the following year. They've got a stake of about 12% of Rivian, and to book $8.2 billion return, that'll do. That's not bad, is it? For taking a punt on Rivian. And meanwhile, General Motors receiving some good news. They get a tax abatement on their $1.3 billion Orion investment. The Orion Township officials yesterday approved a tax abatement for a proposed $1.3 billion investment by General Motors for the assembly plant there in Lake Orion. A GM requesting the maximum period permitted for 12 years, expected to lead to the creation of 2,000 jobs in the area, according to the DetroitNews.com. Sources previously telling the DetroitNews.com that General Motors plans to use the plant to build electric trucks based on their Ultium battery cell technology. The Chevy Bolt and the EUV currently assembled there. Production is not happening because of the prioritization of the battery module replacements. GM will invest billions in the Delta Township near Lansing for a battery cell manufacturing plant for their Ultium cell technology with LG Energy Solutions. GM also applying to receive local and state tax breaks. So even if you are spending a ton of money, you still expect wherever you are setting up shop to give you a favourable deal, and they've certainly got that. Now we'll talk about Lucid Air, the Dream Edition. It goes quickly, really quickly. How do we know? Well, the drag racing veteran and host of YouTube's Drag Times, Brooks, he was able to test the Lucid Air Dream Edition performance version, and he was driving The Lucid, which belongs to a long-time enthusiast of fast cars. This person also owns a Model S Plaid, a Taycan Turbo S, and some supercars. Now, the first literally 20 minutes of the video are a walk around and a walkthrough of the vehicle. And the owner of the Lucid highlighted things that he liked, like the tactile controls, things that he didn't like the software that needs a little bit of work. Now, let's talk about the performance. So, with Brooks behind the wheel, a drag race expert, and you need to be, because the Lucid is really quick. The first test of the Lucid Air Dream Edition, performance version, did 0 to 60 miles an hour, 2.9 seconds. Quarter mile, 10.2 seconds. And a speed trap of 143. Then they repeated it two more times. In the final test, it actually got better. 0 to 60, 2.88 seconds, and which is closer, a bit closer, to the 2.5 seconds official estimated time by Lucid. Yeah, that 2.8 seconds is still mighty, mighty fast, though. And it's always the case, right? When you watch these videos, and I watched this video earlier today to see if I wanted to recommend it to you, and I do. When you look at an EV doing these drag runs from the outside, it's always so remarkably unspectacular. It's just silent and a little bit of chirp from the tyres, little parp, if you like. But when you watch the onboard of how he's just gaining speed and the world starts to go by very, very quickly, when you look at the onboard, it's just spectacular, like, wow. And then you look at the outside shot and it's just quiet and serene, and oh look, there goes a car disappearing off into the distance. So have a check of that video. Like I say, nearly all of it is having a look around the car, so it's just a good to have a look at the Lucid from an owner's perspective. And then the last couple of minutes is the actual drag run that made the headlines. Now we'll talk about the Porsche Taycan, a car that I just mentioned because this Lucid owner had a Turbo S. Porsche Taycan is going to be the new Formula E safety car for Season 8. The ABB FIA Formula E World Championship is kicking off next weekend. I got some friends that cover that series. They're going to be going off to cover that and do their reporting. The new safety car makes its formal debut next weekend in Saudi Arabia at Diriyah. Formula E is delighted that the Porsche Taycan Turbo S will be the safety car from Season 8. Says Jamie Regal, he's the CEO of Formula E these days. The Taycan Turbo S, they say, is the pinnacle of high-performance electric vehicles. Well, I don't know. I mean, you could certainly have a Model S Plaid doing that job. You could have a Lucid doing that job. But they've gone for the Porsche. Unsurprisingly, Lucid and Tesla showing no interest, obviously, in entering Formula E with their own team. So they went with a Porsche to be the safety car. It's got some modifications, got the safety lights, the light bars on it as well. Inside, it's got some safety toggles, you know, those kind of kill switches and things. But otherwise, mechanically, they say the Taycan is almost stock. And coming soon on the podcast, we will talk about what the Chinese think of Tesla Autopilot and Volkswagen's plans to scale up in terms of battery production. And can Bentley go EV? We'll find out. Stick around. Right, welcome to part two. We will talk about a Winnebago ERV. Headline story today, electric camping. Love this. RVs, recreational vehicles, are going to go electric like everything else. And now we see the unveiling of the Winnebago ERV at the Florida RV Super Show, using a Ford Transit van as the donor vehicle, the basis, if you like, the bones of the vehicle. Winnebago and Lightning E-Motors, their powertrain partner, put in an electric motor and an 86-kilowatt-hour battery pack. Winnebago didn't release the horsepower for the ERV, but did say it would do 125 miles of range, shorter than many EV cars, of course, but an RV heavy. And it's not, with EVs, it's not so much the weight. And don't get me wrong, weight is a factor. If you're towing, it's a factor. Wind resistance is a more important consideration than weight. Both, of course, very important in terms of range and efficiency. And a Winnebago is never going to be massively efficient. It has a bed inside it, a kitchen, a wet bath, a shower, all the kind of amenities that you want when you're away from home, writes caranddriver.com. The ERV, though, is unfortunately a concept for now. Winnebago dipping their toe in the water to see the reaction. They certainly say that as battery technology evolves, they will add range to this vehicle. It has an onboard charger they say will juice up in about 45 minutes on a DC fast charger using the Lightning eMotors technology. I get that it's a concept for now. Totally understand that. And I do think that they could just go ahead and make it. I mean, you haven't got to do a big run of those vehicles, obviously, because they're not going to be wildly popular. But you'd sell some of them and you'd get a ton of publicity and you'd learn a lot along the way. And as we know with EVs, you've just got to start making them. Like all car companies, like look at the Audi e-tron. The original Audi e-tron didn't have the best of ranges. It charges like a beast all the way up to almost full. But the next version of the Audi e-tron coming out, completely redesigned under the skin, using the latest technology, an extra 100 miles in this year's version of the Audi e-tron, or whether they'll call it the Q8 or whatever. And you know, all new technology, certainly updated technology, if I'm careful what I say, under the skin. So just start making it. It'll get better very quickly. Development rate of EVs is super quick. And so I wish they'd make it and not just leave it as a concept. But there we go. Right, let's talk about... Oh, this is not a great story. I'll give you the news. We'll leave it there. A Tesla driver has been charged with a deadly crash when autopilot was engaged. California prosecutors have filed two counts of manslaughter against a Tesla driver who was using autopilot at the time and killed two people in 2019. Now, the reason for reporting this is because the defendant appears to be the first person to be charged with this felony in the US for a crash whilst using Tesla autopilot. Los Angeles County prosecutors filed the charges in October, only making the news now, writes NPR.org. NPR says the criminal charges aren't the first involving an automated Uber driving system. We had the Uber case, of course, but they are the first involving a widely used technology. The Model S was driving at high speed when it left the freeway and went through a red light. Now, the agency, the NHTSA, said that all state laws hold the human drivers responsible for the operation of their vehicles. Though automated systems can help drivers and avoid crashes, all Tesla drivers must use the system responsibly. That's not news to you or I. We know that. This automated technology is fantastic in the vehicles that it is used in, but it's not infallible. And they are not robo-taxis, and they are not full self-driving cars. So, big story involved. I've seen it reported everywhere today, and naturally, because it is, you would say, bad news. I mean, there's no way of spinning that. It is a bad news story, and it involves Tesla. Of course, it's spread far and wide because, I don't know, most publications seem to like bad Tesla news. Maybe it gets clicks. I don't know. Maybe they're just jealous of Elon Musk or something. I'm not sure. But let's go to China now, where Tesla autopilot is far from reliable, says the South China Morning Post. And I bring you this story because when a Chinese publication writes something like this, it is kind of, you have to think, well, that is what China thinks about it, because they're never going to go, they're going to print something that is opposite to what China thinks. Automated driving is still far from a reality in China, says the article. And a new study of Chinese EVs poured cold water on the idea of self-driving cars coming anytime soon. Conducted by the Tianjin-based China Automotive Technology and Research Center. It's a state-owned research facility. Of course, like I say, state-owned. If China's reporting it, then it's what China thinks. And I just wondered why they had gone so negative on Tesla. I thought they were the darlings of China. Maybe they're just reminding Elon Musk that, hey, you know, we can print a negative thing every so often when we want to. Interesting kind of geopolitics at play. Don't do too much about that on this podcast. The XPeng, of course, the Chinese car, the XPeng, was the best performer, followed by, surprise, surprise, the Chinese car, the BYD Han. The Model 3, when using autopilot, was ranked with just a score of 70 out of 100. Now, autonomous driving involves complicated technologies, they say, and machine learning. Waymo, the Google self-driving spin-off, widely regarded, says this Chinese article as the leader in full self-driving technology. Interesting, interesting stuff. Okay, let's talk about Volkswagen and Bosch setting up a joint venture for European battery production. A memorandum of understanding, I guess, technically is what this is. Getting together to supply battery production systems and on-site support and maintenance for battery cell manufacturers, of which Volkswagen will be one. They will help VW reach their goal of building 6 battery cell factories, but by 2030. So I love that number, like 6 battery cell factories. Fantastic. It's brilliant. Well done, VW. It's 8 years away, but still, they'll be coming online through the decade, and they'll serve other gigafactories as well. The European Battery Alliance says a third of global batteries needed to be produced in Europe by the end of the decade to cut dependence on, well, Korea and China. But battery cell plants so far, capable of generating under 900 gigawatt hours of capacity in Europe, are set to make up only 16% of the global production, writes TechCrunch.com. Well, TechCrunch says that Tesla is planning to build a giant battery plant in Berlin, which is 50 gigawatt hours on the 300-hectare site next to where the Model Ys are going to be built, just outside Berlin. Volkswagen, meanwhile, their first planned factory in Salzgitter will be 40 gigawatt hours. When all 6 factories are complete, though, it'll be 240 gigawatt hours that Volkswagen will have in European production. And a couple more stories on the podcast today. Bentley are in the news. When Bentley took its first step into the EV world back in 2019, they launched the Bentayga. That is the SUV they make, the hybrid version of that. This month sees another new launch, the new Bentley Flying Spur. That's the saloon. And it's still a hybrid. This article from FT.com says, running the car in EV mode requires featherweight footwork. Anything more and the V6 kicks in and takes over, helping it to get to a top speed of 177 miles an hour. Under heavy acceleration, the silence is quickly broken by the sound of the V6 revving hard, trying to get that 2.5-ton car down the road a little bit quicker. FT says Bentley saying its first full EV coming in 2025. That's interesting. Meantime, the twinning of electric power and automotive opulence serves as a tantalising taster of what's to come. Yeah, come on, Bentley, stick a plug on the outside of it. We don't want hybrids, we want plug-in hybrids, at least until you make a full EV, but I guess interesting enough. And final story today, Just Auto website have put together the 10 milestones to look out for this year. Now I know we're on the 19th of January, but we can still make 2022 predictions, right? Right. So their top 10 is number one, the EV pickup market will accelerate dramatically. Yep, you got to agree with that. Got a bunch of cars, trucks coming this year, and that's really important in the US. Number two, Tesla must meet the Cybertruck and semi-production deadlines. Well, I'm not sure if this article was written before the update, but the Reuters report last week saying Cybertruck is kicked into next year. Semi should start production because the mega chargers are going into PepsiCo, Frito-Lay. And so that should be happening soon. We should see a few of those hand-built, admittedly, low-volume semis on the road. Number three, crunch time for Canoe and Arrival. Yeah, I'd agree. Look, I think Arrival have got a great chance of making it to market. Canoe, I don't know enough about them apart from reporting on them over the years. It's going to be tough. But Arrival, I do rate very highly, and I think they got a good chance. Number four, NIO launches semi-solid-state battery. It'd be interesting to see what Chinese technology comes out this year in terms of battery tech, because number five, production will begin at the 4680 cell plants, at least of Austin, hopefully Berlin. Pilot lines up and running for Tesla in California. Number six, Rivian and Lucid will enter production hell. I use that phrase because that's what Elon Musk called it, production hell, when you try and scale to go from hand building a few cars to properly producing a lot of cars. You look at how many cars are coming out of something like Giga Shanghai, anywhere between, say, 40 and 50 seconds, a Model 3 or a Model Y will come off that line. We have seen them on those drone videos, like every 35 seconds, 48, 50 seconds, a bit longer as well, depending on what's happening inside the factory. But you want to get to that stage? Good luck, Rivian. Good luck, Lucid. Number 7, Tesla's Germany and Austin factories come online. And I think Austin's going to beat Germany and Berlin. Not because they will hold up Berlin for longer than they have to, just because they've just given them permission to make another 2,000 cars. And if full permission was imminent, they wouldn't have done that. They'd have just waited a week or two and just given them full permission. So I think it's going to be a little while longer for Berlin. Number 8, more interest in lithium iron phosphate cells, LFP batteries. Completely. These are as good as any other battery going into EVs, but ridiculously cheaper and like to be charged to 100%. That, to me, says every car maker wanting to make a small, affordable family or city car should, for years, have had an LFP battery contract in the bag, ready to go. Number 9, more confirmation of EV-based Foxconns. So Foxconn is the Taiwanese assembler of iPhone stuff. They're getting into the EV market, could be making those EVs in the US, and they say that the first confirmed EV will be seen. And number 10, Chinese EV exports will grow in Europe. So none of those top 10 things are particularly surprising. Not going out on a limb anywhere there, but always good to see what they're saying. And yeah, those Chinese cars coming to Europe, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they expand. BYD, NIO, XPeng and more, all in Norway. I think Germany are going to be getting a few of those Chinese cars, at least from NIO, before the end of the year, and we expect them to expand. Look, here, we're right-hand drive, so I'm not expecting to be first, second, or third on the list for anyone, because you've got to retool factories to make right-hand drive cars. But, well, such is the downside of driving on the proper side of the road. Right, question of the week. With emobilitynorway.com, what advertising have you seen for EVs lately? I'd like to know what print, what TV, what digital have you seen over Christmas, New Year, more recently, that you noticed? And did you like it, not like it? Was it memorable? Email me. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast. Thanks to everyone who supports the show. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Thank you, Derek, for writing some lovely things on LinkedIn and more about my fourth anniversary show yesterday. Hi to Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course Jan at emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.